presence. He's holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy.
He truly is holy and worthy of our praise. God bless you. This is 438 in your handbook if you don't know it.
Oh, bless the Lord. Oh.
Let's stand.
Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Oh, give me oil in my lamp, oh, keep me burning. Oh, keep me burning till the break.
singing and our praise and our worship.
Amen.
And I feel good tonight. I wasn't at the top of the old saying, I wasn't at the top of my game this morning. I've been fighting battles all week, sickness and dizziness and upset stomach and aches and pains. And anyway, we were feeling better, but standing over there trying to sing this morning, I kept getting dizzy and my stomach kept trying to mess up and just generally not feeling good and extremely tired. And just before the message started, I leaned over and told Brother Hoover, I said, after the message, I'm going to come up and be prayed for. Now, I knew what we were going to have known for a couple of weeks, what Brother Nathan had chose to play, but I hadn't listened to it. Several times I started to, and I just called it lazy or whatever, but I just didn't listen to it. So this morning when I started listening to it, I thought, all right. And then Brother Branham, why don't you just step all over my toes? But I enjoyed it. It was really good. I enjoyed the sermon this morning. I enjoyed the service this morning. And I'm glad to report that Father has touched my body, so I'm feeling real good. And anything the devil wants to bring, you know, not realizing what I was going to say this morning about sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait a while. But, you know, let's be honest with each other. Sometimes these wait a whiles can get to be pretty trying, but by the trial of your faith. So we're thankful that he is a God that hears and answers prayer. So let's do that this evening. Want to make a couple of announcements, which you've been hearing, but we want to do it again, and I'm sure it'll be made Wednesday night. So remember now, you young folks, that Thursday night, this coming Thursday, is going to be the Bible study. And I understand that our Brother Hoover is going to be teaching you something on the Word. So we're looking forward to that, because Brother Layton's even going to be there. But I don't come to all of them, but I just thought maybe I better be there with this one. The pastor's out of town, so I want to be there and support Brother our Brother Hoover. Also remember on Wednesday the 27th, that's not this Wednesday, but Wednesday week, we won't have any services here due to some work going to be done here in the sanctuary area. And as they said, rather than having to take everything down and uncover everything and then turn around and put it all back up for Sunday, they'll have the whole week to finish whatever needs to be done. And Brother Furman turned in a prayer request for, this is Sister April Stutzman's brother now, Wesley and Sharon Baletka, said they're going to be traveling here from towards Jeffersonville this week from Utah. So let's pray that the Lord will give them traveling mercies and grace. Understand they'll be moving to the area. So let's just pray that the Lord will send them wherever that he wants them to go and gather. And may they do his perfect will above all things. So let's remember that family in prayer. Continue to remember, I call him brother. To me, he is. He's done a lot for the church. Brother Gene Cooley. And with his, I guess his gums are doing pretty good, sister. So they're fine. Okay. Well, let's just keep him in prayer. And not meaning to embarrass the Cooley family, but pray for his soul also, his salvation. Because that's what we want above all things. And Gene's a real good man. So let's remember him in prayer. And we have our dear brother Buckles. I look down, and he's not on this front corner here in front of Sister Christy, and I miss him. So he's not feeling well, so let's pray earnestly for the old soldier. And he's been a long time in the battle, so let's just ask God to really touch his body and raise him up. Our Sister Patty Ard, excuse me, Sister Patty is still, I guess, is she still in the hospital? Or she's home? Okay, thank you. She's home, but let's remember her in prayer. She's going through a lot, and the Lord's really the Lord's allowing a lot of things to come down her way, but he is our healer. He is our Lord. He said he wouldn't put more up on us than we can bear, and there's times when we don't understand. That's true. But yet we have to commit it all to him. So just hold her up in prayer. And Brother Jimmy, because it's hard on him as well. And let's hold him up in prayer. Let me see. We have Sister Sergeant, and her, let me get this right now, your dad. Her dad is in the hospital. They had it this morning, but let's remember this congestive heart failure and kidney issues. And if anybody can pray for kidney issues, I can, because I know that God healed mine. So we're continually praying for Sister Patty and some others that we know of that have kidney problems. But let's remember this our sister's dad here in prayer tonight. As we prepare to go to prayer, Brother Mora, would you come, please, and lead us in prayer for these requests tonight? I'd like to say as he comes, I tell him that, and I'd like to tell the church it's been a real privilege to have our Spanish family, Brother Mora and all of his children and all of your wife. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm sorry, Sister Mora. I didn't mean that way. But it's good to have you and your family in service with us, and just trust that you and your family are enjoying it. God bless you, my friend. Thank you.
God bless you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are grateful, Lord Jesus, to come to the house of prayer, Lord Jesus. As I can think of back on my life, Lord Jesus, I never regretted, Lord Jesus, to go to church. Help me, Father, that in days walk on this life, Lord Jesus, that I was filled that way, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the pastor of this church, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Father, to bless him, Lord Jesus, whatever he saw, Lord Jesus. May you anoint him, Lord Jesus, afresh by your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, so he can preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the people wherever he is, Lord Jesus. There have been many requests being written and spoken this morning and this afternoon, Lord Jesus. Many, we don't even know the people, how they're going through battles, Lord Jesus. But you know them all, Lord Jesus. You know what I have been going through this morning, Lord Jesus, even the devil trying to hold us back, Lord Jesus, from attending this morning service, Lord Jesus. But you gave us the victory, Father. I give you thanks for that, Lord Jesus. I give you thanks for this service, Lord Jesus. I give you thanks for everyone who is present in this place, Lord Jesus. May you reach out and touch those who are sick, Lord Jesus. In hospital beds, Lord Jesus. Brother Bacchus, Lord Jesus, he must be at his home, Lord God. I ask you to touch him, Brother Jimmy's wife, Lord Jesus, too. May you heal her, Lord Jesus. This family, Father, that is coming down from the northwest someplace over there to this area, Lord Jesus, may you bless them, Lord Jesus. May their pilgrimage be a blessing to them and the people around this area, Lord Jesus. May you bless us in the continuing of this service, Lord Jesus. May you anoint the minister, Lord Jesus. May you anoint our ears, Lord God, to hear from heaven. We give you thanks, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Darrell Layton.
God bless y'all. It's good to be home. I sure missed everyone. I usually don't say anything when I come up and sing because I'm usually a big baby. But, you know, after that that message this morning, that sure was amazing. And it's good to know where we stand.
Amen.
And, you know, Brother Nathan does this song real well, so if you'll bear with me. It's hard to fill those shoes. But after that message this morning, sure is good to know that the old man is dead.
Amen.
Now and then, an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me, where have I been? What's on my mind? They wonder why I'm not drinking, still painting this old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same, and I may wear the same old clothes, still have the same old name. But you're looking on the outside. You could see what's inside instead. You would see a brand new man, for the old man is dead. I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope inside. I was lost in the darkness, just searching for the light. And then one night in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and the old man is dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. And I may wear the same old clothes, still have the same old name. But you're looking on the outside, you'd see what's inside instead. You'd see a brand new man, but the old man is dead. The man you see before you, they look a lot the same. And I may wear the same old clothes, still have the same old name. But you're looking on the outside, you could see what's inside instead. And you would see brand new man, the old man is dead. But you're looking on the outside, if you could see what's inside instead, you would see a brand new man, the old man is dead.
Thank you, Brother Darrell. Appreciate that. I hope that's something we can all say tonight. Amen. This is 35 in your hymn book. Are you thankful that love lifted you?
Oh, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. Oh, but the of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. Oh, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Your love lifted me, oh, love lifted me. Oh, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Your love ever to him I'll cling. Oh, in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Oh, love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Help. me. Oh, souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saved. Oh, he will lift you by his love out of the angry wave. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. Oh, he your Savior wants to be. Be safe, let's stand. Oh, your love lifted me. Despairing cry. Oh, from the waters lifted me. Now save.
God bless you. Brother Nathan has asked Brother Arnie Bird to come and speak to us tonight. You just pull on that gift, and whatever the Lord has for us, may he just speak through him. Let's sing this little chorus as he comes.
Oh, your mercy, it rewrote my life. It was your mercy, it
love him today.
Amen.
I think they'll get my volume adjusted back there. I don't want to blow anybody out here. We love him because he first loved us. The only reason that you and I have a desire to be in church tonight is not because we had good parents or because we tried to do what was right when we were young or whatever. The only reason that we have a desire to come to a place like this and worship is because some 2,000 years ago, when the Lord Jesus hung on a cross, suspended between the earth and threatening dark black skies overhead, we were on his mind. We were on his mind. That's the only reason. Brother Branham had, he said he got more flack over the doctrine of predestination than anything else. God does it all. The Pharisees hated that. They couldn't stand it because they had worked so hard. I mean, talk about knocking on doors and soup suppers and whatever it took to make the wheels turn. The Pharisees knew how to do it. But tonight we're here just because of God's mercy and God's grace. And if it wasn't for that, I'd be some crazy woman chasing, drunk, or whatever. God only knows where Arnie Berg would be tonight. If it hadn't have been for his mercy. I'm going to let you sit down in just a minute, but I've got to I was looking over my notes a few minutes ago down in the Brother Nathan's office, and I've got a stack of notes here, and it seemed like the Lord said, you just got so much of your own thoughts and ideas on this paper, you're going to have to give me a little room here. And I said, okay. Because I was reading the things that I had written down, and I felt like at the time it was the Lord's will, everything that I'd put on paper. But now I'm standing here and I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm going to be able to say the things I have written down or whether he's going to give me something else. But I believe that you, dear saints of God, deserve something from the Lord tonight. And if he can use a wretch like me, I want him to do that. But you, if you'll pray with me, we'll see if we can come up with something. But I know one thing for sure. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. So I promise you that I don't know how I'm going to stay with my notes or whatever, but I promise you that I'm going to lift up the Lord Jesus. And if you, and if you know him and you love him, that will help you. My only desire, some of you have heard me say this for years, my only desire when I stand behind the pulpit, I'm not trying to be somebody. Well, I say already, we already are somebody. We don't have to try to be somebody. He took a nobody and made a somebody out of us. Amen. Isn't that great? Amen. God does it all. I didn't have one thing to do with it. I was running from God. Brother Branham said, you never sought God. But there's a little poem that I remember. It goes like this. I sought the Lord, but afterward I could see that he moved my heart to seek him, seeking me. So it wasn't me at all. See, so if you, when I hear people say, oh, I sought the Lord fasting, well, you didn't do it. It was just the Lord causing you to do what you did. Any desire that we have toward him comes from the Spirit of God, because there's nothing good within us. We're lumps. I'm a lump of Kentucky clay. Some of you are from other states, but I'm kind of prejudiced, I guess, partial toward Kentucky. Wonder why people always make fun of Kentucky. The only reason they do that is because the little prophet of God came out of Kentucky. Just like they used to say, well, like the Bible says, Anything good come out of Nazareth? And anything good come out of Kentucky? I went to an Assembly of God Bible College up in the Twin Cities, in Minnesota, when I was a very young man, a few years ago. And I'd tell people I was from Kentucky, and they said, "Oh, you're wearing shoes?" Yeah. We even have running water down there. Yeah. But anyway, anytime somebody has a desire to please him, we take one little step toward him, he'll take 10 steps toward
Amen.
Us.
Yes.
So I don't know exactly how this is going to go, but I'll tell you what, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated, and we'll go from there. But I don't. If you've come tonight and you're expecting something from God, you will get something.
Amen.
From me or somebody else. I don't know. But I'm going to take a little shot at it. Because I love God's people.
Yes.
There's no people on earth like God's people. And Brother Branham said, you're going to have to pardon me for being a little emotional, but we'll get through this. Brother Branham said, "I love the Lord God, and the only way that I know that I love him is because I love you."
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Amen.
Yes. I wish I'd have said that. Well, actually, I just did. Let's speak to the Lord for a minute. Lord Jesus. Precious Lord. We love you tonight, Lord, because you first loved us. So grateful for what you've done for this church and for this dear group of people. I'm grateful for the way the Spirit of God is moving among us. And another book of Acts is being written while we speak. It's not something that we're looking off in the future for. I believe, Lord, that you're recording every move that we make and every thought that goes through our minds. A great book of Acts is being written behind this little bride. And we're thankful, Lord, for all that has come from your hand. I'm not worthy to be standing before your people tonight. The only reason I can be here is because of your mercy and because of your grace. And I pray, Father, that you will come and help me, or else I'll sit down. But I know, Lord, that the only thing that will help any of us is if we see you a little plainer. And I pray that you'd help us to do that. In the precious name of Christ Jesus. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. I've never really been in a quandary like this before. I've been making an effort to preach a little bit for quite a number of years, but I've never came up against anything like this. But I ain't scared, because perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
And I know that God loves us more than we love ourselves. You know that?
Amen.
And tell you what I'm going to do for a minute here. I'll just offer a little gratitude and testify for a minute, and we'll just go from there. How's that sound?
All right.
You never go wrong saying something for the Lord. You'll never go wrong speaking up for what the Lord's done for you.
Amen.
And the greatest attitude that you can have is gratitude. Gratitude is a combination of great and attitude. Gratitude is a great attitude. And I have gratitude tonight, and the only reason I have that's because of him. I am nothing. We are nothing without him. I don't have any education to lean on. No great family background. We're just a bunch of hillbillies from Kentucky. My parents were I was born over in the Red River Gorge, right on the edge of the Red River Gorge back a few years ago. And the Lord has brought us a long way. I've been around long enough to where I can share a few things that I've observed over the years now. Because my memory can take me back probably 65 or 66 years. That my memory. First thing I remember was, I believe, when I was about 4, my dad coming to get me in the hospital and bringing a little red wagon. Because I asked my mother some years ago how old I was when that happened, and I was about 4. And then my memory kicks in again when I was about 6 or 7. My father was pastoring a little Assembly of God church that's Trinitarian Pentecostal in Jeffersonville, Kentucky. Probably never heard of it. It's over toward Mount Shirley in Winchester. My dad had 6 kids. My mom and dad had 6 kids, I should say. And he struggled as a young man trying to take care of a big family. Most of his pay was, you know, chickens and tomatoes and potatoes out of people's gardens and so forth. And eventually, after a number of years, the Assemblies of God denomination let him down. They did not have the answer. You will not find him in a denomination. The only place that you will ever find the love of God, the real love of God, is amongst the bride of Christ. So I want to say thanks to the Lord for all that he's done for me. He's gave me the greatest gift that he could give a man outside of himself. And you know her as Mary Alice. The highlight of my life, other than the moment that I realized who I was, is when Alice glanced over at me and said, "I do," and I believe she meant it, and it's kept us together now for over 40 years. And I just want to, if there's any, like Brother Branham said, if there's any honor to go to the Byrd family, let it go to her. So the Lord gave me the best little Catholic girl in the region. Of course, Jeremy Byrd and Brother Terry back there, they might argue with me on that. I think they both got Catholic girls. How many ex-Catholics do we have? Any other than? Praise the Lord. See, I can kid about the Catholic Church a little bit since, you know, like I said, got the best one that there was. But Brother Terry Sargent has the real Mother Teresa. I say, you know, there's probably never anyone who's done any more good works than Mother Teresa did. And of course, she was a poster child for the Catholic Church for years and years and years, working with the orphans in Calcutta. But she had been misled. Her allegiance was to the Bishop of Rome, who was the Pope. Mother Teresa, I'm not trying to ridicule her as a person. I have a great deal of respect for somebody that could do what she did. But I heard her say once with her own lips, It came out of her own mouth. She said, "At the foot of the Blessed Mother Mary, I found Jesus." And I said to myself, I beg to differ. Right. The only place you'll find the Lord Jesus is at the foot of the cross, Jesus. Not at the foot of the Blessed Mother Mary. Most Catholics don't even know what the Catholic Church teaches. I don't know why I'm talking about Catholicism all of a sudden, but you've heard of the Immaculate Conception, I'm sure. Most Catholics think that's talking about Jesus, virgin-born Jesus. But it's talking about a virgin-born Mary. Isn't that right, Brother Eduardo? Are you familiar with that? The Immaculate Conception? Concepcion? It means that Mary was born of a virgin just like the Lord Jesus was. Most Catholics don't even know that.
Right.
Well, I want to thank God that once I was blind and now I can see. And we've all been through trials and tests and hardships, all of us. And I've never heard anybody say that I served the Lord for a period of time and he let me down. I served the Lord and he didn't treat me right. I went away disappointed. I've never heard anybody say that. And I can say for surety I've let the Lord down 1,000 times, but he has never failed me, not even once. And I don't believe that he ever will. And he will never fail you. I can guarantee you that. I want to look into the word for a minute. We've got to get a little word in here so that the wheels can begin to turn. If you turn with me to Psalms 126, the 126th Psalm. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to give you just a little short theology lesson, okay? This is one of the very few things that I picked up and it stuck with me when I was in a Pentecostal Bible college, that the Psalms are not written in chapters. Now, I'm not picking on you, Brother Layton, but he told us recently that he's going to go through the entire book of Psalms, and I said, that's one of the only things that I learned in Bible college is that they're not chapters. They're each one is an individual psalm. So let's remember that. I know Brother Layton don't mind me saying a little something like that. But see, each psalm is an individual psalm. The book of Psalms was the song book for the Hebrews. So if you say, if it's like Brother Furman, if he were to get up here and say, turn with me to chapter 12 in your song book. See, it doesn't sound right, does it? It's page 12. So it's Psalms 23, 23rd Psalm, not chapters, because see, Psalms 23 is not a continuation of Psalms 22 and so forth. So anyway, I just thought I would pass that little tidbit of information along to you. But each individual psalm, now you look in Hebrews, you got Hebrews 10 and chapter 11, chapter 12, and so forth. Chapter 13, verse 8, praise the Lord. But the psalms, they're each one an individual. So I'm glad I got to share that with my brother, because it was just weighing on me. Isn't it crazy what little things that we carry around with us? But I know the love of God in Brother Layton's heart. I knew he wouldn't mind me saying that. Now, Brother Branham, I looked up to see how Brother Branham did it. You know how he did it? Both ways. So we're not going to make a doctrine out of it. But most of the time, he did not say Psalms chapter 12 or something. Most of the time, he just named it. But, okay, so that's over. Psalms 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Yes.
Now, I want to say once again how grateful I am that Brother Nathan gave me the opportunity to share with you a little bit. This is one of the highlights of my life. I mean that. I've been around for a while and I've seen a few things, but there's no greater privilege than for a minister to be able to stand before God's people and share the word with them. Nothing thrills your heart like that. And I don't think any minister should walk behind the pulpit without feeling just a little bit unqualified and unworthy or a little nervous. I remember the last time that that Brother Hoover spoke. He said, well, I wasn't nervous until I came out here and saw all these people. But he got over it real quick when he started jumping around. You know how he does. And down there, one service, he was sitting down there in the pew preaching away. I just thought, what's he going to do next? He's always has a trick of his, up his sleeve. We're all different. We all do everything different. Now, if I were to get up here and try to preach like Brother Nathan does or Brother Donnie Reagan or somebody, you all would think, well, Arnie's flipped his cork. And if Brother Nathan were to come out here and be here this long and talking like I am right now, people would start dropping to their knees everywhere. Oh, Lord, help Brother Nathan. He must be sick. You see, I'm not Brother Nathan. I can't be Brother Nathan. I'm just me. And I just talk kind of like I'm talking now. I might yell a little bit now and then, but I'm just not a big yeller. But if I could do it, I would, but I just can't do it. But you know what? There is a scripture. I was going to tell Brother Nathan this recently. There's a scripture that I can use that he can't use. Yes. It goes like this. I was young, and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, amen, nor his seed begging bread.
Right.
Isn't that great? We don't have to beg from any denominational supermarket.
Amen.
We have God's mall that Brother Layton preached about. I'll never forget that. We have a mall. It has every type of store in there that if you have pain and suffering, if you have heartache and trouble, there's an app for that.
Amen.
See, just that's the one that Brother Nathan stole from me. There's an app for that, so I just borrowed one from him. Back on, I think about I think it was in June, somewhere around June 14th, somewhere. Brother Nathan came up here to preach, and boom, the lights went out. Remember that? And Brother Jimmy and Brother Steve started scrambling. They came back, and the transformer blown. And thank the Lord, all of Brother Nathan's high-tech stuff was battery-operated, so he didn't shut him down. But he did a real good job projecting the light right in the middle of the darkness. And the deacons so the Lord can take any situation and turn it around for good if we let him. If we let him. You know, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts and in your minds. Let. You know what that means? It means allow. Some people actually will not allow God to help them. Denominations have people so bound up that if an ounce of revelation were to drop on their head, they wouldn't know what in the world it was. Would have no idea, what is that? Where'd that come from? You see, this message runs, if I can use that term, it runs on revelation that can only come from God. It can't be taught. That little silly Bible college that I went to up in Minneapolis couldn't teach anybody a speck of revelation.
That's right.
They cranked out people like Jim Baker. I think he and I may have just missed each other when I went up there. Jim Baker and what was her name? Yeah, Tammy Faye. I think I just missed them when I went up there. Thank God for that. But that's the kind of stuff that comes out. That's the kind of thing that comes out of denomination.
Right.
We're having a book of Acts written behind us right now. That's not something to come up in the future. God's recording every move that we're making, every thought that we have, every response that you have right now to what this old guy is saying is being recorded.
Amen.
That's how interested the Lord is in you and in me. He cares more about us than we do about ourselves. And that's saying a whole lot, isn't it? But I'm going to stay on gratitude for a minute. Just sitting in any notes, I don't know what I'm going to do with these notes. But I am grateful for this church. I told Brother Nathan, I feel like this is a house of refuge. Don't you? Refuge. I like that word. It's refuge. A house of refuge where people who are hurting or troubled or distressed, they can find peace and serenity and rest. Amen. That comes from the presence of God. The presence of God is not welcome in most churches. The vast majority of churches in this country wouldn't have any idea what to do with the presence of God.
Amen.
So we are some fortunate people, and we should really be grateful that God chose us out of 7 or 8 billion people. He chose you and He chose me.
Yes.
I was the black sheep of my family, but the Lord chose me. I don't. Why? I'm not going to argue with Him about it. He did it.
Amen.
I'll take it. That's all I can say. I certainly didn't deserve it. None of us deserved it. If we got justice, we would all be in trouble. But we didn't get justice. We got mercy.
Yes.
We got grace. And we got love, the kind of love that can only come from God, which means He loves you just the way you are. You can be pharisaical all you want. You can work your fingers to the bone trying to earn your way to heaven. You won't get one step closer to the pearly gates, no matter how long your list of good works may be.
Yes.
You believe that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So this message to me just simply means grace. About 30 years ago, I told our little group at the time that I only have one message to share with anybody, and it's grace. I just say it in 100 different ways, but the only thing that's behind this great message and the messenger that God sent us is grace, grace, grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace means. So, when somebody's standing up here, it's not about the minister. See, I had my head full of my own thoughts and my ideas when I was sitting downstairs a little while ago, and I thought I was going to have to tell Brother Hoover or Brother Layton, one of you is going to have to step in for me because I think I'm just too full of myself. I really meant that. I said, Lord, I have never been up against something like this before. And He said, well, you're just going to have to shut up and listen and you'll have a little something to say. So I do not put my trust this night. This is the first time I can ever say this to a group of people. I am not putting my trust in this little pile of notes that I have here. I heard Brother Branham this morning, and Alice said on the way home, he was winging that. She didn't mean it disrespectfully, but he was winging that, and it was a masterpiece, wasn't it? You know how he does that? Well, I can tell you how. He said, I've got a little gift. Little gift. I can get myself out of the way. That's when God can do something. And the Lord gave me a little verse, and I wrote this down a week or so ago. It's just two lines that rhyme. And I want to share it with you. If you're here tonight and you hear only me, I have myself to blame. But on the other hand, if you hear only him, you'll never be the same.
Amen.
So I have nothing to offer you but him.
Amen.
If he gives me an unction to say something, I'm going to say it. But I'm not depending on anything that I have done except sought the face of God. I went in the woods this evening where Alice and I have gone 1,000 times, where Jeremy and Greg and Roxanne used to play when they were children. I went back there for the same reason that Brother Branham put a little note out in the woods one time. He knew God lived out there. That's why he put the little note to the Lord. Remember that? Oh my. He wouldn't have learned that in a seminary. Let's just take Oral Roberts. Now, I'm not going to try to pick on people, but let me just say a little word about ORU. Everybody knows who Oral Roberts is. He's the man who wanted to I think Brother Branham may have mentioned this recently when Brother Nathan played a tape, and I've sat back there with Brother David, I believe. But he said, this brother wanted to pray for me. And I told him, okay, you know, if you let me return the favor. But Oral Roberts wanted to pray for Brother Branham so that he would get that spirit off of him that was causing him to treat the women so bad. You know what he was doing that was so bad? He was telling them what could save their lives and give them spiritual hope and direction. He was mainly telling them how to dress and how to act and encouraging them not to try to run their homes and run their husbands like the American society is doing right now, and not to try to run the church. A lot of you got a lot of women. There's not just pastors anymore. It's pastor the duo, you know, the man and the wife. She's right up there preaching right along with him and all that. The Joel Osteens and Ricky Roberts and all those, all that. Oral Roberts, he did a lot of good. Brother Branham spoke well of him and numerous times. He spoke well of Billy Graham. Those are the two angels to Sodom. You know that, don't you? They're the two angels to Sodom. And our angel, well, the one that stayed there with Abraham, that's the one that you and I are looking at today.
Amen.
Sitting out under, you know where Abraham was when God walked up to him that day? Sitting out under an oak tree, just watching the grass grow or whatever, God walks up. See, you don't have to work up anything. We don't have to manufacture something in order to be Christians. We just have to be what we are. I love Alice more than I love my own life. She doesn't have to try to earn the love that I have for her. Nothing could change that. I would die for her without even giving it a second thought. And the Lord not only would, but he did. He stepped into a human body and he felt pain and suffering just like you and I have felt. The Lord Jesus. That was more than a man. That was God in flesh. It was such a thrill to me. I've got to tell you what my topic is here. It's you ain't seen nothing yet. And I got that from Brother Nathan. The lights went out the night that the lights went out in Georgia or whatever that crazy song was. But anyway, he mentioned that phrase. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet that night. So I thought I would borrow that from him. But that's what I want to say to you tonight. You think this is good, like the Israelites when they got set free from the Babylonian captivity. They said, we're like those that dream. In other words, is this really happening? It's so good they couldn't believe it, you know.
Wow.
It's just too good to be true, huh? The Better Business Bureau tells you that if something sounds good, too good to be true on the other end of the phone, it probably ain't true. But this, my friends, this message of the hour that rescued me and you from denominational pig slop is true. People might say it's too good to be true. Oh, no, this is true. It's every word the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. I will stake my life. I told a friend the other day of mine, not a close friend, but he's an atheist friend. But I told him, I said, listen, I would stake my life on what I believe right now.
All right.
I'm staking my life. I would stake the life of my wife and my little grandchildren, little Noah. And where's little Lily at? Is she there somewhere? Bless her little heart. I would stake everything that this message is true and that God is revealing himself to a people. And Brother Branham said, here after 2,000 years. In other words, this hasn't ever happened before like this, like what we're seeing now. He said, after 2,000 years, here is God showing himself again.
Amen.
And we're recipients of that.
Amen.
I can understand why people call you crazy. My, the Lord Jesus himself was spit on and mocked and talked about like he was a fool. And then we expect everybody to love us. That doesn't make sense, does it? It's customary to say good things, say some good things about a minister brother when he shares his pulpit with you. But I just want to say a word about Brother Nathan, not because it's customary, but because it's true. I love Brother Nathan, and I'm so glad for what God has done for him and this church here. I mean, I remember when I used to rub him on the head when it was about like this. I was thinking it was went back further than that, but Sister Dottie corrected me on that one day. But anyway, and now look at him. You see what God can do? That's what he done for David. When people looked at David, they saw a shepherd boy. But God saw a king. Isn't that great? When the prophet came to David's house, David's father ran all those big, tall, stout, strong, handsome men through there. And the prophet said, no, that's not him. Isn't there somebody else? Well, actually there is. Got a little boy out here in the back 40. Watching the little dirty sheep. Go get him. David walked in. That's him.
Amen.
His brothers probably fumed and steamed for days and days. Can you imagine? There ain't nothing like envy and jealousy. The very ones who should have known the Lord Jesus. The very ones who should have recognized Brother Branham as Malachi 4 and 5, the very ones who had the background to accept it, turned it down. And Brother Branham said, anytime you stand for the truth, somewhere along the line you're going to be forsaken. And Brother Branham got forsaken. I sat in Evangel Tabernacle over in Louisville. That's Brother Rogers, W.L. Rogers. Brother Branham preached in his church in Owensboro, Kentucky back in the mid-50s. But I sat in his church over on Fern Valley Road in Louisville when I was about 21 or 22. And sitting on the platform that day, this is before I had heard about the ministry of Brother Branham, was a man named Demas Shakarian. You all know who he was. He was Brother Branham's Demas. Little did I know when he was preaching that day that I was listening to a man that had been a friend to Brother Branham. But when the word came down in the form and in the way that Brother Branham brought it, he couldn't handle it anymore. There's only two Demases that I've ever heard of in my life. One is in the Bible. Apostle Paul talks about Demas. The first time that he mentions Demas, he spoke well of him. And the last time that he mentioned Demas, he said, look, he was writing to Timothy, I believe, and he said, I need you to bring me my coat. Yes. And I had to leave Theophilus over in Malaysia. He's sick. Didn't probably have two pennies to rub together. And Paul had won Demas to the Lord, and Demas had traveled with him, and he had seen all sorts of things. You can imagine what Demas had seen. But Paul said in the last mention of Demas, he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, I heard when I was in Bible school that Demas took his own life with a sacrificial dagger on a pagan altar when he was 85 or 90 years old. But what Brother Branham said was Demas didn't go back to the nightclubs and the bright lights of Thessalonica. He went back to the churches where he could be somebody. Where he could hear people say, oh, Brother Demas, come up here and sit with us. Come on up here. Oh, Brother Demas, it's so good to see you. And here the prophet says to us, see how little you can get. That'll let you know whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. When you can read Brother Branham saying, see how little you can get, and you can embrace that with joy. You want to know some evidence of the Holy Ghost? Right there is one. You want to speak in other tongues? Love is another tongue, unknown tongue today. Kindness and gentleness, that's some unknown tongue right there. I'm just throwing that in. That's no charge for that. But we got all kinds of wrong ideas from our denominational backgrounds. We got all kinds of misunderstandings about what God is and what he's trying to do and what he wants for you and what he wants for me. Brother Branham said, he that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now, Brother Branham said, overcome what? Your own thoughts and your own ideas. That's exactly what had me hogtied a few minutes ago downstairs. I had my head filled with my own thoughts and my own ideas. And the Lord had to help me to get through that before I could stay up here. I never faced that before. I hope I don't have to do it again. But I think I'm going to be able to lift him up a little higher. That's all I'm here for. I want to lift the Lord up. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I don't care if anybody ever knows who I am outside of Louisville, Kentucky. I don't care. I don't care if I never see my name on the internet or up in big lights somewhere. All that's gone now. It took me 72 years to get there, but that's where I am right now.
Thank you.
I don't care. I don't give one hoot of a baby owl what happens to Arnie Bird. If the Lord were to say, Arnie, after this service is over tonight, I want to bring you up higher, I would say, let her rip. The only thing that would keep me from shouting joyfully about it would be that little angel on the seat back there. But I'd get over that. You cross into that other dimension. Oh, my. You ain't seen nothing yet. You think it's good what we've seen. You think it's good what God's been doing. And all down to, see, I came up through all the Pentecostal stuff. I had all my Pentecostal toys in the bag that I loved so much. And now the Lord's shown us through a prophet. If you want to get ready to meet him, you unpack. You don't pack your bags. You unpack your bags. We get rid of all the baggage and get all the loose ends fixed up. But I was talking about Brother Nathan and I got sidetracked. But I'm just saying I love Brother Nathan and I believe that he's ordained of God to pastor this church. I believe he's anointed of the Lord and I believe he's a elected part of the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Show me where it ever got took out of the Bible, and I won't say anything else about it. It's just not debatable to me that God has a ministry in this hour. It's just not debatable. I mean, you've heard this too many times for me to say it again, but the ministry is more than pushing a button on a tape player. You know that two people can listen to a tape, and one will hear life, and one will hear death. Two people can listen to a tape. One will receive revelation of what's being said. The other will say, that man sounds crazy. He doesn't even speak good grammar. What, didn't he get past the third grade or whatever? That's what a lot of people said about Brother Brown. They couldn't stand it that he was uneducated. See, if he'd have been a Billy Graham, Billy Graham could go up to the Ivy League colleges and debate with all those intellectuals. He just fit right in. They just worshiped him almost. But then a little uneducated hillbilly from Kentucky comes on. I can see why people would call Brother Branham crazy, because this message is crazy. Brother Jerry, this message is crazy. You know how it is down in Liberty. They think Brother Morris is crazy down there. Down at the Bread of Life, they got a restaurant down there called the Bread of Life. But if you took the Bread of Life in there to them, they wouldn't know what it was. But while I'm on the subject of bragging on people, I want to say this. I do not flatter people. I don't believe the Lord appreciates it for you to flatter somebody. But I want to compliment Brother Furman and the way that he leads the worship in this. He's one of a kind. He just fits right in. And I believe if I've ever seen anybody that God's pleased with and the way that he is in his personality and so forth and his demeanor in the service, I don't mean to embarrass him, but I just think it's a real blessing to the people.
Amen.
And these precious brothers over here to my left, God bless them. How fortunate Brother Nathan is to have people like that. And Brother Jimmy and Brother Steve, they're faithful, so they just make me feel like just make me feel like I'm nothing sometimes. But we're all something. We're all something special. I've heard a little children's song that says, God don't make no junk. Amen. When he made you, he threw away the mold. There's only one like you. And there's only one like him. The only person that I want to emulate, the only person that I want to copy after, the only person that I want to be like is the Lord Jesus himself. And if ever a man was able to project the love and humility of God, it was Brother Branham. I love Brother Branham just as much as anybody that I've ever known. But Brother Branham is a man, just like you and just like me. People elevate him higher than he should be. Shame on them. He didn't want that. I don't know how I'd be able to handle that myself. I probably wouldn't have handled it very well at all if people were to look at me and think I'm God, for goodness sakes. But the things that people saw, it's not as unusual as it might sound for people to think, well, he's deity. Well, we're all deity. We're all part of God. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. God divided himself up and gave a part to you and a part to me and a part to this one and a part to that one. And then when we come together, we have that whole pillar of fire. We bring our little licks together.
Right.
Some of the sweetest tones that I've heard from the voice of the Lord have been no louder than a whisper. I've never had him shout at me once. Doesn't mean I haven't needed it. And sometimes we have to shout at our kids and so forth. But it's not about the volume. It's about the consecration that's in your heart. That's what the Lord looks at. And the only place he can find reverence and respect is in the little bride of Christ, like this group here and little groups all over the world. I know a little black brother in Togo, West Africa. It's Brother Klutzy. He's the one that I turned a prayer request in for some, it's probably been months ago now, but his daughter, she died giving birth to little Elijah. And I talked with him by the, emailed him the other day, and they're going to send us a picture of little baby Elijah. He's got about 5 or 6 aunts, and so I think they're all just passing him around. But the Lord took his mom. Who knows why? You don't want to question God about anything, you know. I've talked to people, you know, who are skeptics and agnostics. Lately, I've been running into all sorts of strange people like that. I don't know why the Lord brought me through some of the things that he has, but I just go with the flow. I don't have anything to offer anybody but Christ. That's it. That's all I've got. I don't deserve the precious family I've got. And when I see my boys married and to dear Christian women and little grandchildren, it's just God's grace and God's mercy. Now my daughter, it's another story. No. I love my daughter. She's just kind of the little black sheep of the family, and to a degree that she really has respect for God. She does. You pray for little Roxanne. I love her more probably than I do any of the rest of them. And she's got little Leo and little Haley, the cutest little kids. If I had my phone, I'd show you some pictures, but we'll just, I saw a guy the other day that said, he had a bumper sticker that said, ask me about my grandkids. Yeah, you know, you don't want to do that. But I have gratitude in my heart for this group of people right here. And I'm glad the Lord brought us here to sojourn with you. I don't know where it might be tomorrow or the next day, but I know today I believe I'm supposed to be right here, and I trust that you believe that you're supposed to be right where you are.
Amen.
Let me get back to Demas real quick. I get sidetracked a minute ago. I didn't have nothing to say, and now I don't know which end is up. Brother Branham said that Demas, I've got to stop doing that. Demas had the wrong opinion of Paul. Now, Demas Shakarian had the wrong opinion of Brother Branham.
Yes.
Demas looked at Paul, and Paul had left his friend in another city sick, and he was writing Timothy, "Send me my one coat." Brother Branham said he had one coat. Brother Branham said Demas was probably thinking, a man of his character, a man who has prayed for kings and governors and potentates, a man who has seen the dead raised, who has seen eyes opened, who has seen the deaf healed, a man like that should have a ministry that will go around the world over and over. That's what Demas was thinking about Paul. So Demas was probably interested in seeing God, and all the time he was looking him right in the face.
All right.
You want to see God? I told my atheist buddy the other day, "You want to see God?" I said, "You're looking at him." He said, "What? What is wrong with you?" I was just ribbing him. But it was true. You're looking at him. That's right. You want to see where God is? You're looking at him. You want to see God? Just look at that precious sister next to you there. Look at this up here. That's where he is.
Amen. Yes.
My. You can't see it with scales on your eyes. And I thank God today that he took the scales off of my eyes so I can see who's who and what's what. And Brother Branham said there will be two groups who thinking they're the bride, and only the one will know who is who. It's real tricky. When they asked Jesus, "What will be the sign of the coming of the Son of Man?" You know what his answer was? It started like this: "Let no man deceive you." So what he was saying there, the order of the day will be deception. There has never been deception like we're seeing today. The Pharisees probably made the Christians of that hour look sick as far as their performance, as far as being kind and the kind old priest and all that. The Pharisees had more fruits of the Spirit than Jesus did. Isn't that what the prophet said? They could put it on thick. I mean, they could put the honey all over you and get weaseled their way into your house and sit down and pass their false doctrine along to you. They were worse than Jehovah's Witness, probably.
Think about it.
Now, if it was not for God, I would be right in the middle of something like that, and so would you. God saved us from the destruction that is coming. You know, America thinks things are tough. You ain't seen nothing yet. 9/11 was a drop in the bucket to what's coming. We've had a lot of problems with flood, but the fire is what's coming to the United States the next time. Fire. Everybody understands that. So Demas, he got disgruntled with Paul. I can't imagine hearing Brother Branham said, "How could he do that?" Ern Baxter, who was a friend of Brother Branham's, I don't know to what capacity, but Brother Branham said they were talking, and Ern Baxter said, "Brother Branham, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look that Demas up and punch him right upside the head for what he did to Paul." Of course, Brother Branham said, "You sure he's going to be there?" Well, Demas looked at Paul thinking that it should have been different. If he is such a man of God and he's had this much power in his life, why is he having all this trouble that he's in right now? Brother Branham mentioned it this morning. You learn obedience by the things that you suffer. That's what made Paul what he was. Brother Branham learned obedience by the things that he suffered. That's what made him the godly man that he was. The things that he suffered. Oh, we love it when the joy bells are ringing and the goosebumps up and down our spine. But what about when you are called to suffer? Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. We don't like that. I don't like talking about it either. I really don't. But if it's in there, we need to look at it. We don't have to be afraid of anything that's in God's word. You and I are the only ones on the face of the earth that do not have to be afraid of the judgments that are mentioned. Because we're not going to get justice. We're going to get mercy and grace. Well, now I'm catching myself. I'm going to have to move along here because time is slipping away and I've still got a bunch of stuff here, but I'm just waiting to see what the Lord says, that's all. Oral Roberts wanted to pray for Brother Branham to get that spirit off of him. And Oral Roberts, well, you know what kind of operation he has today. There's a friend of mine in Louisville that I've known for decades. And he told me that when he was attending ORU, Oral Roberts University, that there was a big nightclub near the college. And he said one night he was there himself, and the MC or whatever, the DJ or whatever, he named all these colleges and schools in Tulsa, and people would let out a big cheer, yay, yay. And when he said ORU, the loudest cheer went up of all of them. Now that big operation there was the brainchild of a man who wanted to pray for Brother Branham to get the spirit off of him, where he was trying to help sisters and save their lives. And I stood in front of the Oral Roberts University at the same place where Brother Branham stood one day. He visited there. You know the story. He visited there. And he stood out on the sidewalk and he said, I just began to weep. And he said, Lord, I guess I just haven't done anything. Look what this brother has, a big college and a worldwide ministry and healing campaigns, and I guess I just haven't done anything. And he was just heartbroken over that. And then almost immediately, the Lord said, I am your portion.
Amen.
I am your portion. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. I am your portion. There it was right in front of them and they couldn't see it. Demas was looking at a faithful servant of God. And Brother Branham said he wanted to go back where he could be somebody. And I'm sure he was. And I saw and listened to Brother Branham's Demas decades ago over in Louisville. I didn't know who he was, what the situation was at the time. But I wouldn't want to be in someone's shoes who stood next to the prophet and ended up walking away from him. But I do want to say something about looking back and looking forward. When we talk about, Brother Branham mentioned another book of Acts, right? Another means one other book of Acts. So it doesn't mean the same exact book of Acts. It means the book of Acts that's taking place right now. The book of Acts is about the work, the action of the Holy Ghost. It's not about the people. So I don't go to the book of Acts. I don't go to the book of Acts just to watch how people acted. I go to the book of Acts to see what the Holy Ghost did.
All right.
That's what you want to look at the book of Acts for, to see what the Holy Ghost did. So when we say, well, I want what they had on the day of Pentecost. Well, we have what they had on the day of Pentecost. God poured out his spirit upon all flesh.
Amen.
We have that right now. So we have a book of Acts being written behind us this very moment.
Amen.
And people are going to act differently. People are going to respond to the Spirit of God differently. Now, when I heard Brother Branham this morning say, you probably know what I'm going to say, but he said he saw this woman dancing in the church. She was got carried away a little bit, I guess, and was dancing. And he just didn't feel like it was right. And then sometime later, they were singing a song. I guess he was at the tabernacle, maybe. And he said, yeah, I was out there doing the same thing. He said, so don't ever say you won't do anything. Now, I didn't know Brother Branham ever said it like this, but he said, because God might make you do that. But I had to think about that a little bit because I have ever been involved in a Jericho march. I've been in more Pentecostal churches than you could count, and I have never been involved in a Jericho march. I've seen people, I saw a brother over at Evangel Tabernacle once get up and walk across the pews and run up to the stage and fall down at the feet of Jerry B. Walker. You may have heard of him from decades ago. Now, I'm just not the type of person to do that. But like Brother Nathan said, if God tells you to do something, do it. If God tells me to stand on my head, I will do it.
All right.
Now, I don't think that he will. I don't think that he will make me. Well, let me put it this way. God will not force you to do anything. You might wish you had of, but he isn't going to force you to do anything. The Spirit of God moves on people, and the Spirit of the Lord is subject to the person, see? Now, I don't ever expect to see Brother Furman walking down the aisle on his hands. I just don't think that I will see that, but if God told him to do that, I believe he would do it. And if God tells me to do it, I will do it. But I just want to say that we're all different. And the Spirit of God settles down on a group of people. Everybody will respond in different ways. But God does not force you to do anything. He's not going to force you to do something that would embarrass you or make you feel awful in front of people. Now, the people back in the 50s and the 60s, Brother Branham could have said to them, you think this is something, this discernment and the healings and all those things, you think this is something? You ain't seen nothing yet compared to what's going to be happening in 2017 just up the road here in New Albany. He could have said that to those people that night. You ain't seen nothing yet compared to what the Lord's going to be doing with his bride in about 50, 60 years now. We haven't ever been this way before. No one has ever passed this way. This is all new territory to us. That's why we need to follow those bloody footprints. Where he leads me, I will follow.
Amen.
Follow Jesus every day. Brother Branham told them, he said, at one point, this was back in the 60s, he said, the evening lights are shining, and we miss it. No, he said it like this. We fail to see it. Now, he said we, I believe, in order to be courteous, because I'm sure he saw it. But he said we, he included himself when he said that. But he said we fail to see it. And what was he talking about? He was talking about the mighty God unveiled before us. God has never shown himself to any group of people, anywhere, at any time, the way that he's revealing himself to his little bride in this very hour. You believe that? And you ain't seen nothing yet. I can say that right now. You ain't seen nothing yet. But that doesn't mean to look off in the future. Now, when Mom is clearing off the table and she says, keep the fork, that doesn't mean that, you know, you're not enjoying your food here. But that just means there's something good coming after it, too.
All right.
We get a little heaven to go to heaven in, see? But I'm not looking off in the future thinking about, oh, I'll be glad when I get to heaven. Well, sure we will. But what about right now? Aren't we seated together with Christ in heavenly places?
Amen.
Aren't we seated with him in this hour? Aren't we already glorified in his presence like the prophet said? My, we're just a heartbeat away from that other dimension. If we could just see that.
Amen.
But blessed are those who believe who have not seen.
Yes.
See? So the mighty God was being unveiled, and all the sign seekers and so forth, they didn't realize what was happening. They missed it all together. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham said that he will pick her up and say, here she is, and then she'll be gone. I believe that's what's happening right now. I believe there's a revival taking place in the hearts and the lives of the bride of Christ, but it's a secret. It's not going to be for public show. It's not going to be announced on the internet or in the newspapers or on TV or radio. It's a private affair. This is a romance that's taking place between God and his bride.
Amen.
Demas, he missed it. Let me mention that a little something that happened to a brother in Romania back years ago. Romania, I believe Brother Joshua's wife is from Romania, right? His name was Richard Wormbrand. I don't know if any of you have heard of him or not, but he started the underground church in Romania. He was born in Bucharest, Romania, 1 month before Brother Branham was born. In 1909, he was born in March. Brother Branham was born in April. I'm not comparing him to Brother Branham, but it's just interesting, some of the parallels. But in 1945, Romania, they lost out to the communists, and a communist government was installed. So Richard Wormbrand, he began an underground church there. And about 3 years after they started, they told him, well, you can preach, but don't say anything against communism. See, the devil will give you all the rope you want, but just don't bother this part. You know, just leave this alone. They actually told him, you can preach about Christ, but don't say anything bad about communism. Almost immediately, he stood in the public square and he said, communism and Christianity are not compatible. And of course, he went to jail for it.
Right.
He spent a total of about 14 years in prison there. And his sin, his problem was the law that he broke was preaching the Lord Jesus to the people. But this is just a little testimony that he shared in one of his little books. He had been in this prison for months and months and months, and he said they fed him like dogs, they treated him like dogs, they would beat them. One day he was sitting on the ground. He said he hardly had enough strength to even stand up. And he started talking to the Lord. And you know, it's a good idea when you talk to the Lord to every now and then stop and let him say something back to you, instead of just giving him a bunch of orders and then running out the door, and he's standing there saying, I was going to say something. It's kind of interesting that we want to do all the talking. When praying ain't just talking to him, it's letting him talk back to you. That's what right. Brother Branham said, that's what real communion is. Right. You talk to him and then let him talk back to you. The Lord said to Richard Wurmbrand, he could hardly even stand up. The Lord said, leap for joy. He thought, I guess I'm just losing my mind. What, Lord, is that you? Again, God spoke to his heart, leap for joy. So he started trying to get himself up on his feet, holding on to the wall, and it kept repeating, leap for joy. He thought he was just losing his mind and thinking, well, surely God's not saying that to me, but the Bible, it does say that, doesn't it? About the one man that was walking and leaping and praising God. There's a song like that, I believe. But he finally got on his feet, and here he was, and he was just going, just trying his best to leap. He couldn't get both feet off the ground at once. And he heard something. He heard the little slide door on the cell door open and shut. And a little bit later, the door at the bottom slid open, and they pushed a tray of food in there. There was a chunk of cheese and a big chunk of bread and a bottle of milk. And he said, well, he thought, what is this, Thanksgiving or what? So he had this meal, which was like a feast to him, and he said he went on the strength of that for days. And later on, after he had gotten released from prison, he talked to someone who had worked at the prison, and this man told him that the guards had been instructed, if you see one of them Christians going crazy, give them some food. Give them some cheese and some bread and some milk, because we don't want no nut jobs around here that we got to deal with. They looked in there and saw Richard Wurmbrand trying to leap for joy, and they said, well, there's one, he's lost it. Get him some food so we won't have to put him in a straitjacket. And he said he believed with all of his heart that that saved his life.
All right.
That chunk of cheese and a bottle of milk and a chunk of bread. Why? Because he done something crazy. And it's crazy for people to look at you and look at me. You know, when I walk down through the mall, sometimes I'll see people, I kind of watch people. Alice and I'll be walking through the mall, and I'll see, you know, I know who the weirdos are. And I say, now this guy's going to turn around. So I peeped out the side and I said, yep, they're thinking, what is that woman doing with this bun on the back of her head? That's what's going through the mind. You know what? Sometimes I just want to turn around and say, haven't you ever seen a real lady before? I can't do everything I feel like doing. If I did, I'd be in trouble all the time. But I just feel like doing that. But people say, well, those women over there are crazy. They won't even cut their hair and make themselves look nice. Listen, there is not a creature on the face of this earth that I appreciate more than a precious Christian sister like you are. Oh, my, my, how the Lord must love his little bride. You can listen. I'm going to close in just a minute because there's my notes. That's just the way the Lord did it tonight. I've never had this happen to me before. God will go to any length. He will go to any length to see that his little bride is happy and that she has peace in her heart and joy in her heart. He'll go to any limits to see that. Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost is our entertainer. He can entertain us like nobody else can. And the Lord is going to fix things just to our taste. Brother Ram was talking about the millennium, how God's going to prepare it for his little bride, and he said it'll be just to her taste. Isn't that great? It's going to be just like she wants it. I've got one more little portion here that I'm going to share with you, and I've got to close. But we know that Enoch typed the bride, and we know that he went for a walk one day, and he was closer to his theophany than he was to home, so he just went on. That's what we're going to do some. I want to share a thought that I have about Brother Branham, and then I'll be finished. Hopefully this will help you some like it helped me. But Moses died and they had a period of mourning. And then they went back to business as usual like they should. But in Joshua chapter 1 verse 2, the Lord comes to Joshua and he says, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. And here Joshua was, what must he have thought? I mean, the way I understand it, do you think he knew Moses was dead? When God says something to you that is that obvious, you need to stop and think, what's he saying here? My servant Moses is dead. Now Joshua represents Jehovah Savior. Joshua actually means Jesus. But now God was saying to Joshua, just like he's saying to his little bride now, Moses, Brother Branham was a prophet like unto Moses. It didn't say like unto Joshua, it said like unto Moses. But Moses was a true, real servant of God. He tried to do it like Brother Branham mentioned over and over. He tried to do it on his own, killed a man. And then he had to go on the backside of the desert for 40 years. But anyway, he ended up being the deliverer and leading the people out. God took Moses off the scene before the people went in. God had to take Brother Branham off the scene before that robe could fall on us. And Brother Branham stopped calling it a robe at one point, and he said, we need to be baptized with the mantle of Christ. The mantle of Christ. And we know that the token is the literal life of Christ back on the bride in this hour. So God tells Joshua that you're going to take him on in. So now that's what God has done in this hour. He took the reins from Moses, put it on Joshua. Now that means God. Brother Hoover led us in that little course this morning. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, that's God with us. God in us, Brother Branham said, it's God with us, God in us, and God through us. Now in Matthew 24:28, the Bible says where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. But that's what happened back in the 60s. That was a fresh kill at that point. Now we know that Brother Branham said that scripture has a compound meaning. So now, if we try, here's the main point I want to make. Brother Branham's ministry is dead, but Brother Branham's message lives on. You follow me? It doesn't mean I'm belittling Brother Branham. Don't ever think that. Nobody appreciates the prophet of God any more than I do. But he was saying that what Moses brought and so forth, that was for this hour. And now Joshua, Jehovah Savior, is going to take us on in. You're going to take the people on in. Now, in Matthew 24:28, that word carcass, that was a fresh kill back in the 60s, you know what the Greek says? Toma, the Greek word toma. That's where we get ptomaine from, ptomaine poisoning. That's what that word means in the Greek. Now, when that was a fresh kill, that was great. But Brother Branham's ministry is over. Now his message lives. God told him down on the river, just as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. So what do we do with that verse now? Well, we go to, thank God that there's more than one gospel. We go to Luke 17. The Bible says, where the body is, there the eagles will be gathered. And that word body, the Greek means health and healing and preservation and so forth. So that's where the little bride is now. The body of Christ. He is at the helm. He has a ministry installed. He is at the helm. It's not Brother Branham as the man anymore. We have too much nostalgia. I don't wish for the old days. Did anybody wish for the old days? The old days for me wasn't all that. You know, they call them the good old days. But what I'm pointing to here is that Brother Branham, before he left, he said, my ministry is to declare unto you that he is here. So I believe that God is here in a special way, taking his little bride on in to the promised land. You believe that? Yes. Amen. Now, I want to sing, or I'm going to have Brother Furman come in just a minute. But I'm not sure which gospel it was in. But there was a little woman who had an issue of blood. And the Bible says she was trying to get through the crowd to get to Jesus. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. All I have to do is touch his garment. She pressed through the crowd. She touched his garment. And he knew something happened. He said, who touched me? And they said, well, Master, look at this crowd. What do you mean, who touched you? He said, no, somebody really touched me. And what I want to ask you to do with me tonight, I'm not going to try to have a big altar call or anything like that. I'm just going to ask you if you will join with me in touching him for a change. How often have we sang that dear song, he touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Too often we come to church thinking, oh, I need a touch from the Lord tonight. Well, the Lord would like to have a touch from you. Do you believe that? There's no other touch that I would rather feel on my arm than the hand that's on the end of Alice's arm. And I believe God feels the same way about his little bride. He wants us to touch him. There's a song that says, reach out and touch the Lord. There's a song that says, I'm reaching out to you, O Lord. I'm reaching out to you. As a matter of fact, I would like for us to sing that if you all would come. I would like for us to try to sing one of those choruses. But I'll have Brother Furman come in just a moment. But I just want to point out to you that instead of asking God to touch you tonight, let's just turn that around and make an effort to touch him. Doesn't that sound fair? It's not like we're trying to take matters into our own hands, but he loves it when we give him his full attention. I was thinking the other day when we were taking the prayer request and we were talking about all the needs that we have. You know, he has needs too. God needs your companionship. He needs your undivided attention. He needs the romance that comes between us. Amen. So you see, God has needs too. We're always thinking about, we want him to meet our needs. Well, let's try to meet his needs too.
All right.
I believe God appreciates that from the little bride. I really do. And if you, I believe that I can tell the Lord on behalf of all of us, if he has been here tonight expecting, if he came expecting love and adoration, I believe that we've given him that. He needs that. He needs our love and he needs our adoration. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. But I want us to sing a little chorus. I believe it's, do we sing the reaching out to you? Or reach out and touch the Lord, you know that one, brother? Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Oh, reach out, touch him tonight, will you? Touch the Lord as he passes by. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We love you, precious Savior. Too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Oh, just reach out and touch the Lord as he. God loves worship from his people. He loves attention from his little bride. One more little illustration, then I ask Brother Furman to come. You know, you've heard people talk about what happened to the body of Jesus. I don't know. There's lots of different thoughts about it, but they wrapped Jesus. They wrapped Jesus in grave clothes. You know how a caterpillar wraps itself in a cocoon and then after a while this beautiful butterfly comes out? What happened to the worm that was in there? I don't have any problem with that. I think that the body of Christ got used up in the process. I believe it went into that transformed theophany that could walk through the walls. A transformation takes place. Now, Brother Branham said, this is my main point for the whole night. Brother Branham said that somewhere along the line you might get forsaken if you stand for the truth. But he also said, but God will crown your ministry or your life, you housewives, you mothers. God will crown your life if you stand for him. Now, let me tell you what Brother Branham said his crown was. I just ran across this the other day. He said, my crown is I get the privilege of clothing the bride of Christ with the cloth of the word. Is that beautiful or what?
Amen.
He got the privilege of clothing the bride of Christ with the cloth of the word. Now, I think of that as we are cocooned in the word of God at this point. We've had a word come that is the world has never seen. We had a ministry that the world has never seen. The body of Christ is something beautiful, something that's never been before. We have access to everything that took place in all the other seven church ages, plus what's coming at this point. We're cocooned in God's word. And soon and very soon, God's going to speak and we're going to be transformed. There ain't going to be no bodies laying around. Brother Branham said there wouldn't be hide nor hair left. Now, that's pretty plain to me. There ain't going to be hide nor hair left. When we're transformed, so when Jesus, I believe when Jesus, when he rose from that transformation took place, there wasn't any body left. It couldn't have rotted in 3 days. It couldn't have went back to the earth. I'm not positive about this. I'm just telling you what I feel in my heart. But that's what's happening, Gus. We have been clothed and we're cocooned in the word of God. And very soon we're going to be transformed. We're going to step over into that other dimension where there's nothing but peace and glory. And all we have to do to get there, keep your hand in his. And reach out and touch the Lord. Hallelujah. As he goes by. I just want to say I have never, in 40-some years, I've never experienced anything like what happened tonight. My notes went out the window. I was helpless. I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I thought, well, I'll just lift him up. And if I've lifted him up, then I believe the people were blessed and that he was pleased.
Amen.
I hope nobody was disappointed in him. I love the Lord God, like the prophet said, and the reason that I know that I love him is because I love you. I see people here that I've married. I see people that I've baptized. I see babies that I've dedicated, now big guys, like big guy back here, and Wesley now, big man, young man, and it just thrills my heart, and I'm so glad that you're under the nurture and the care of a precious brother like Nathan. God bless his loyal heart. You pray for him every day. Brother Branham said if you ever lose respect for your pastor, the church is over. Pray for Brother Nathan. And pray for Brother Arnie if you think about him. Pray for me. I need God's help and his direction. And that's all I have to say. Let's sing that again or whatever you have. Go ahead, brother. God bless you.
Amen. Let's try this little chorus, 282. It's the other chorus. Brother Arnie mentioned, I'm reaching out to you.
Well, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. Well, I know your arm, it's not too short, that you can't reach me to. And press my way into your kingdom true. Well, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. Well, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. Oh, I'm reaching out to you. Well, I know your arm, it's not too that you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, well, I'll grow to be more like you, Lord, by reaching out to you. Well, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. Oh, I'm reaching out. I know your arm, it's not too short, that you can't reach me too. And as I pray and I press my way into your kingdom true, well, I'll grow to be more like you, Lord, by reaching out.
This is 704 in your hymn book, little chorus we sing here, and it's, is it Jesus you want to see tonight? Amen. I believe he spoke to us.
Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really.
Why don't we stand and sing it to him tonight?
To see, oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. I really want to see.
This is 544 in your handbook. Help me sing this tonight. If I can't do it, I know Brother Hoover knows it. So I got a backup. Amen. Amen. By His grace, we're a new creation. Amen. Well, I'm a new creation. Oh, I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Oh, more than a conqueror. Well, that's what I am. Oh, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Hallelujah.
He redeemed me. Oh, I've been born again to win. Oh, I thank God He justified me. This fullness that we all received of Him. Well, I'm a brand creation. Oh, I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. Well, I've been born again. More than a conqueror. Oh, that's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Let me again.
Hallelujah, He redeemed me. I've been born again to win. Oh, I thank God He justified me. His fullness have we all received of Him. Well, I'm a new creation. Oh, I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. Well, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Well, I'm a new creation. Well, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. Well, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Brother Joel, would you come up and dismiss us in prayer as we sing that again?
Well, I'm a new creation. Well, I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. Well, that's what I am. Well, I'm a new creation.
Lord, I thank You for that word Brother Arnie had for us tonight. Just as Brother Arnie was saying, he's not prone to pointing out people, but boy, I tell him that what he brought tonight, that was just the Lord speaking to me through him, and I just appreciate him just allowing himself to just step out of the way that God could truly just speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. God, what a blessed day this is we live in, Lord. Just be able to hear from You, God. To seek Your, Lord, Your wisdom in our lives, God. Lord, in this confusing world we live in, God, just to be able to turn to You, God. Just, Lord, a new creation, God. We can't thank You enough, Lord. God, I just pray that, Lord, as each and every one of us go our separate ways this evening, Lord, that You would just go with us, God. Just thank You that we've been blessed to hear Your word tonight, God. Just so appreciate it. We love You, Lord God. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
God bless you, saints. You can be dismissed. Let's sing that as we go.
Well, I'm a new creation. Well, I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. Well, that's what I am. Well, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. Well, I'm a new Well, hallelujah, he redeemed me. I've been born again to win. Oh, I thank God he justified me. Of his fullness have we all received of him. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. Well, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Oh, hallelujah, he redeemed me. I've been born again to win. Oh, I thank God he justified me. Of his fullness have we all received of him. Well, I'm a new creation. Well, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again.